You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And welcome to the front line. This is a beautiful Monday in November, the 17th, as it turns out. And we haven't had any rain in a while. And
since I'm grateful for that.
Since I can be working on my roof, I think it's a good thing. I'm going to introduce my co-hosts first, and they always have something pithy to say, and we want that to go out on the air because it's always educational or at least funny. And we need both of those, especially from my most venerable co-host, Ed Skiba. Good morning.
Pithy?
Yeah, well.
I don't know what that means either.
Finely tuned, pointed commentary.
I have about seven different things that are not appropriate for a Christian radio station, being retired military.
Oh, of course.
So I won't answer that pithy.
Well, all right. Okay. You don't have
another beautiful South Florida morning.
Yeah, really? Okay. It is.
Oh,
that.
My goodness.
It is.
I had a call from Washington, D.C.
Yeah?
Yeah. The president called. He said, "What do you think of Red China?" I said, "Great. There's nothing wrong with it as long as it doesn't clash with the tablecloth."
Wow. Okay, thank you, Ed.
He keeps us laughing in the studio.
He does keep us laughing.
Actually,
yes,
it's the jargon between you two,
yeah,
which
right.
I love.
You know, we probably ought to just do a thing with the three of us, you know, and all the humor.
I'm going to have to catch up with your
world's
humor.
World's not ready for that.
No, world may not be ready for that. Or it might be in great need of the humor, Ed, instead of a... Well, anyway, shifting over to Ann Limhoko, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I was reflecting because we have the supervisor of elections and the deputy supervisor in our studio.
Yes,
we're so
yes.
blessed to hear from them.
Amen.
I was reflecting how we're blessed to live in the United States
Amen.
Of America
yes,
and where
are.
We can vote and have free elections. So yes. that's just what I wanted to say. We are so blessed to
Amen.
Be in this country.
And we're going to be exploring that. But now you said that. As before we dive in and introduce...
Sorry, I pre-introduced that.
No, that's
you
okay.
Did.
No, I'm glad to do that. People need to know who we have today. But I was going to say that that is all true about the United States of America. And those of you who studied American history, going back to the days before the founding of America, the pre-revolutionary days, all that was being said and done to build up to... the America that emerges out of the Revolution with all the founding documents is to know that God is behind that.
Absolutely.
America was founded out of the will of God and because His specific plan for us in this season of human history. And that because, you've heard this from me before, but I think it bears repeating that yes, there's a danger with all that's going on in our nation today. And how the devil loves to destroy the things of God. He really loves mm-hmm. to do that. He
Amen.
Hates God. He hates the people
Amen.
Of God. And he is about the business of trying to destroy America. And we are coming against that in the name of Jesus, right? And we do that all the time here. Specifically today, we're doing that. And that undergirds everything that's going to be talked about today mm-hmm. is that we serve the living God. We serve the God who created America
mm-hmm.
and who wants it to fulfill its mission.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And we're in the process, certainly, of doing that. Anyway,
Amen.
Having said that was a word from our sponsor. And we must always do that.
Lord.
Good Lord, yes. Vicki Davis, the Martin County Supervisor of Elections, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Carrie Anderson, your deputy, right? Is that a proper term?
Yes, sir.
Chief deputy.
Chief deputy. Got it.
Chief deputy, yes. I'm not getting a good mic on you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay,
That's
I'm
better.
Sorry.
Just go closer, yes.
I'm going to put your volume way up, Carrie. You're very soft-spoken.
Yeah. Not usually.
Not usually.
No. You
depends
can ask your poll workers.
Okay.
Barb might think to differ, right?
Well, it depends.
Can we introduce Barb Twigg?
Barb is who will not be on the mic today.
Kind of in the corner of the studio, but she is like a super volunteer and works very closely with them. So I figured it would be a great time with your permission.
Yes.
She was able to sit in and just
cool.
observe. And
Absolutely.
If you want to pop in and say anything, Barb, don't be shy, right? Is that okay with you?
Oh,
you
won't yeah.
have,
sure.
You'll
yeah,
have to grab a mic because you don't have a mic.
We can share.
But they're grabbable. They got these handles on them.
We have an Ed and a Davis. We don't have a mic. David, what? I mean, we have a mic. We don't have a mic.
We don't have a mic. We'll work on that, Ed.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I told you before we went on the air, Vicki, that I really want you to set the agenda. There's so much to talk about, and there's so many important things to talk about today. So what is first on your heart?
Well, the first thing that Kiri and I have been doing out in the community lately is going to, we've visited all of the different municipalities. As mm-hmm. you know, in Martin County, we have five. And then different events we've been attending. We've had different chamber groups come into the office, and we're giving an election update and tours of the office, the yes. building itself. And I would encourage any of the listeners who are in the county that would like to come in and take a tour of the office to please give us a call, because we love providing that behind the scene, if you will, what it takes to make sure that your vote, just even one vote, is secure and safe, and that it's being cast for the individual candidate or language that you want it to be cast for. So in doing that, we are also honoring our county's 100 years of democracy in action, because it's our county's 100th centennial.
How about that?
And it was formed in 1925. We don't have numbers going back to 1925, but from 1938, there were 1,880 registered voters in Martin County.
Oh, my gosh.
We're up to right now about 114,000, and it fluctuates due to list maintenance and daily maintenance. We're always taking deceased off our rolls, that type of activity. But our county was founded in 1925, 1938, 1,880 registered voters. 1,800 of those registered voters were registered with the Democratic Party. And 80 were registered as Republicans.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's because of the old Florida Democratic Party they were registered with. And then it was 1980, the Reagan days, that the tide turned in Martin County, and we became a red county. And the majority of our voters in Martin County are registered with the Republican Party. And if you look, I've provided you with a centennial fiscal year report. And if you look at page 8, you can see what our primary election registration was and turnout. But the real turnout was, of course, for the general election. It was a presidential year, and we had 116,000 registered voters at that point in time. We had 99,481 of our voters turn out to cast a vote. It made us the 10th highest turnout.
That's a great in percentage. The state of
Florida. I remember you.
Yeah, 85.2%.
Wow. So,
yes. And you can see that 50% or 50,934 voters voted early. 19,820 voted on election day, which is always now our lowest voter turnout method, and then 28,727 voted by mail. So we have that breakout by party as well.
This is an awesome bit of information.
It is.
Amen.
Some listeners are saying, how can I get a copy of this?
It's actually on our website at martinvotes.gov.
Downloadable as a PDF?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, it is. And it's right on the homepage in the middle, and it's annual fiscal report.
This is a wonderful report. I was flipping through it. And I, but particularly the stats you just shared with me is encouraging.
Yes,
it says a lot about the participation of the people in our county and the interest they have in the government.
And they do. They really do. Our lowest area of turnout is a primary election.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's always been like that, right?
It has. And Kiri and I do our best to really encourage voters to participate in primary elections because so many of our local elections are settled. Yeah. They're decided. Our county commission races, school board races, most of the time are decided in that primary election.
We had talked earlier about the kind of the something I think we all struggle with, and that is people that don't vote. And they're eligible.
They are.
Otherwise eligible to vote, but they don't vote. And then in the category of how many Christians don't vote, I think it's over 50%, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is that?
I don't.
It's high. It is over 50%. Yeah.
Over 50% of Christians don't go to the polls either all the time or for most election important elections. And so I kind of, let me just throw that out. Get your thoughts and your give me a response to that.
Well, as you can see from our graph, we have a, on page 9, we have a really high turnout of those who are registered with the Republican Party. Well over half of the votes that were cast in the last general election were cast by those registered with the Republican Party. I don't know. I would encourage those that are listening, if you're not registered to vote, to really step back and think about the importance of voting. I reflect back on your opening prayer prior to starting this radio broadcast, and you were talking about the foundation of the United States of America. And our founding fathers and the documents that our nation is based upon. And to me, what we do in elections and what every voter does when they go out and cast a vote is the foundation of what our nation was built upon.
Right.
So I think it's really important for everyone to let their voice be heard.
Yeah. I don't know what gets in the minds and hearts of people to think their vote doesn't count. But you have several examples, but there's one in particular you're talking about going back 20 years.
Yeah, 25 years ago. Staff and I just watched a documentary that Channel 5 had on, a couple weeks ago, Kiri?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it was about the 2000 election. And it was a reflection back, the closeness of the election and just how it affected not only Florida, but the United States as a whole, because there were, as Ann said earlier, the hanging chads. I think everybody that went through the 2000 election remember the hanging chads. And a lot of changes took place, but there were only 537 votes difference. So everyone should really... you know, look at the closeness of that race and the trajectory of the decision that was made by those 537 votes.
Do you remember what number of people in the United States voted in the last presidential election?
I don't know.
I'm thinking
in the
it's up around 80 million.
Probably,
That's a quarter of the country. We are way in Broughton County in this area. Our degree of patriotism is so much higher than the overall country.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's due to both of the parties being active. But if you look at our stats, you'll see that there are quite a few people who are registered under the other category. And they're registering as with no party affiliation at all.
The
NPAs.
Okay.
Yep.
22,911.
You know, I was thinking about, I'm going back several decades now, because I can. I've been on the earth for a while.
You do it well.
Yeah, thank you. And again, because I grieve, and because this is a Christian radio station, and that's part of our message is that we need to take advantage of the freedoms that we have that are really God-given. Voting is one of them, and it's critical. So I throw this out for a little discussion. if going back to, let's say, the 70s, because I'm thinking now of Roe v. Wade. Now, mm-hmm. that was Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. We don't vote for those people.
Right.
But how people express their own spirituality, their own theology in their voting mm-hmm. by virtue of what they expect from the people they're voting for, to speaking out biblical values.
Right.
That's what we ask Christians to vote. Whoever's Absolutely. Running for office, check your God values against their values and see whether they're going to vote for them or not. If, let's just say, this is very speculative, if most Christians had voted in every significant election for the last 40 years, would we have the people that were elected who would then mostly be standing on platforms and hold positions and create policies that were based more or less on biblical values? Mm-hmm. What would our nation look like today? And I say this because this is a snowball thing. Your one vote, mm-hmm. if you do it for biblical values and you speak to that, that has more power than just one vote, in my view.
Absolutely.
And if Christians, would we've had Roe v. Wade? Would we have had a generation of politicians being elected to federal office primarily, if not also state office, that would have brought biblical values into play when they're voting on laws, where the God's view is in the laws, where they're voting on appropriations, mm-hmm. money. Where's money going to go? Good stewardship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm kind of seeding this with my own. But the point is, what would we look like today mm-hmm. if 40 years ago and even up till today, most Christians, if not all, would go to the polls and vote biblical values?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would make a huge difference.
Yeah.
But like we said earlier, I really think that Martin County, our voters do register and they do get out to the polls. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Nationally, I hear what you're saying, Dave. And I can equate that to our voters within the county. They'll make the comment, "I trust you. I just mm-hmm. don't know about right. you know the rest of the United yeah. States, you know, and how elections are run."
I don't know how many of our Christian listeners that didn't vote are familiar with Romans 13:1, but Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the government authorities." Mm-hmm. For there's no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Mm-hmm. God uses us as his hands and his feet in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. we can have a great influence Absolutely. On assisting him in getting godly people into these offices.
Amen.
And if we usurp that privilege, that authority he gives us, we're going to be accountable for it. Mm-hmm. So my friends and neighbors out there that are fellow Christians, think about that yeah. the next election and be sure you get out and be the hands and feet of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
If I may ask, we're going to a break here soon.
A couple of minutes.
I know that you're a Christian. I don't know mm-hmm. if, you know, many of our listeners may not have listed because you've been in the studio a couple of times, but can you talk about your Christianity? Because many sure. may not know you're a Christian, and so is Kiri, your chief deputy. So yeah. maybe you want to just talk about that really quickly.
Sure, absolutely.
And how the Lord put you in this office.
Amen.
The Lord put you here.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah. When I was 19 years old, well, I had been raised in the church. My grandparents were pioneer settlers. I think mm. I've shared that before. The Kissimmee River were generational Floridians, and
yeah.
they were Church of God, and we were raised in the church. And but I at 19, the age of 19, I really made that decision to turn my life over to Christ mm. and accept him into my life, you know, made that commitment. And yeah, it's been a journey, I think, with every Christian. It's, you know,
yeah.
Every person. We all have our own journey. Mm-hmm. And when my girls, we have two daughters, and when my girls started school, they actually went to Hope Sound Bible, kindergarten through eighth grade, mm-hmm. and then went to South Fork. And as I became involved in their I was involved in their education, you know, from kindergarten right on, preschool right on. But especially in high school, I became very involved. I was the volunteer coordinator, had my own business, and decided to run for school board. And so I served on school board for 8 years. And as a school board member, prior to becoming a school board member, you have to run for the office, of course. So I had to interact with the elections office. And it was something that just, it just dropped in my heart and my spirit that whenever my predecessor, Peggy Robbins, who you see a picture of here in our annual report, decided, made the decision to retire. I had already discussed it with the family. They knew that I was going to run for office. And she declared on a Friday her retirement. Monday morning, I filed my papers. I was in the middle of a term for school board. And I never looked back. And I think that that's really important. Once you make a decision, the blinders go on. You never look back with anything in life.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take a break while we have this little moment, and then we'll be back with more with Vicki Davis, Martin County Supervisor of Elections, and her chief deputy, whom we need to hear from.
Yeah, great.
You got some words. You got some thoughts. I want to hear from you.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Jonathan McLean, General Manager of WCNO Christian Radio. We just completed Prayer and Share October the 6th through the 17th. Many of you joined us during those days. We had an awesome time of celebrating the goodness and faithfulness of God. We are so close to reaching our goal. If you have not sent in your donation yet, you can go online to WCNO.com or you can call us at 772-221-1100. God bless you, and thank you for your continued support of WCNO.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
And welcome back to the front line. And it is the front line. Everything we talk about is frontline ministry. And today we have with us Vicki Davis, the Martin County Supervisor of Elections, and her chief deputy, Kiri Anderson. I almost said it the wrong way. Kiri Anderson. And we're so delighted to have you with us. It's a great and important topics that we're dealing with today. And Kiri, we're going to go to you. You have some stuff you want to share.
Sure. Well, I am happy to be here. It's always great to be here with you all. It's always a wonderful time to share with our public what's going on in their elections office and what we're doing. And as we were talking about on the break, I just celebrated 20 years with the elections office.
Wow.
Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it's honestly been a wonderful time. I feel it's my way of service. This is my ministry to serve, to help, to provide information, to make sure voters are aware, making sure our community is up to date. They understand what we're doing. And we were talking earlier, we're inviting people into the office for election tours now.
Cool.
A lot of people have questions about elections. You know, how do I know my vote counted? How do I know my vote is safe and secure?
Right.
And we're telling you, don't get your information from secondhand sources. We're here. We're your trusted source. Our supervisor of elections keeps an open door policy, and we're here for the voter. So we're encouraging voters now, especially during this quiet time, come mm-hmm. into the elections office, get your mm-hmm. questions answered, get a behind the scenes tour, see what all goes mm-hmm. into place to ensure that your one vote is safe and secure, and that you leave with the full confidence knowing that how I voted is what went inside that ballot. And so we're mm-hmm. really encouraging people to do that.
And I hope you will.
Yes. Yeah.
I hope you how
and
can.
And we had several groups come in already and individuals who said, wow, I didn't realize that you all did all of this, mm. all the layers of security that you have mm. in place. So it's been great for those who've come in so far. So we're really encouraging more people, individuals, groups, mm-hmm. come on in.
How
it's
long
your
is
elections
the tour?
Office.
How long is the tour so people know?
Oh, about 30 minutes,
okay.
20, 30
not
minutes.
Not long.
Not long at all.
And how do they, what can they do to schedule a tour?
Very
do they
simple.
Contact?
Call the office, 772-288-5637. Or you can go online to our website, martinvotes.gov. We have a request form online. You can let us know if it's an individual or a group. We can get with you to schedule and set a time that works best for you and bring you into the elections office.
That's cool.
And,
I like that.
And I just want to interject that we've had a I always want to say college intern. I always have to stop and correct myself. Mm-hmm. A Clark Advanced Learning Center intern
yes.
Okay.
Mm.
This semester, Vera Howe. And mm-hmm. I think, Ed, you know the Howe family
yeah,
from
sure
Indiantown.
Yeah.
And Vera has just been a great
she
addition
has.
To the office. And she has pulled together the tour, the
program.
Office mm-hmm. program.
Okay.
And providing some information about the building itself, because the building was built in 1958. But it was originally built as the post office when they moved out of the arcade downtown Stewart. They moved into what is now our building. And then years later, it became the health department for many, many years. And when I came into office, it was the building was privately owned. It was private family owned. And we were in 3,300 square feet of space in the courthouse on the fourth floor.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
Our equipment was stored at B&A Flea Market. We're required by Florida statute to train our poll workers. Thank you, Barb.
Yes.
Prior to each and every election, so they would have to beg, borrow a jury room or a library facility to train poll workers. You didn't have the equipment, the access to the equipment, mm-hmm. and not conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal, I was elected in November of 2004, sworn in January 4th of 2005. And my goal was to bring everything under one roof. Mm-hmm. So this building was being gutted at the time. And I approached our Board of County Commissioners, asked if we could make a physical move into the building, if they would rent it, lease it at that point from the family that owned it. And I was able to lay it out for election flow. The Board of County Commissioners, so we moved into that facility where we are. I came in January, November of 2005.
Fast.
We moved in.
Wow.
Yeah, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And now the Board of County Commissioners has approved an addition on the west side of the building for our canvassing board, because that's a part of the security of the election.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need that space and that security for adjudicating ballots, for tabulating mm-hmm. those vote-by-mail ballots, and yet keeping it open and transparent to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the really important thing with elections, is the transparency together with the security of the election.
That's very, very, very important.
Yeah.
I was going to mention we are going to take calls. If you would like to call in and ask a question, either Vicki or Carrie, the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And we have someone out there to answer the phone. Praise
Perfect.
God. Otherwise, it's me getting my aerobics going back and forth. But so do call if you have a question.
Yes.
So keep going. You got. We need to know more about what's going on, and you know.
Sure.
You touched on election integrity.
Maybe some of the important deadlines coming up.
Yeah,
I know you mentioned it was quiet. I know it's not quiet for you because you guys are always working.
We're always working.
Mm-hmm. What do the voters need to know?
So I'm glad you asked
public.
That, Ann, because we do have.
We already have a call.
We've got a call.
Ann.
Incoming.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing, David?
Hey, yep. pretty good. Hey, how you doing?
Like awesome.
Good. I have a question from our representative from the elections office. How often do we purge the rolls, and is it required that we get a court order to get these ne'er-do-wells off our rolls that aren't supposed to be there? What do we need to do to keep the rolls clean in Martin County?
Well, I can tell you our rolls are thank you first for the call, because that is a question that we hear from our voters quite often. It is a concern for voters. And I can tell you that in the state of Florida, Florida has tight statutes in place. We receive the names of deceased on a daily basis from the state. I've had voters call in. My husband passed away, several weeks ago. And when we pull that individual up in the system, they've already been removed. We get that information very quickly, especially if they have passed away in the state of Florida. It's a little bit more difficult if they pass away out of state. And that does happen because as we age, families out of state do bring their relatives home, and they don't think about letting the elections office know. But there is Florida statute in place that every year we have to conduct list maintenance. And that entails reaching out to those voters who have not voted in the last two general elections. And if we don't hear back from those voters, if they don't vote in the next general election, then they go into an inactive status.
And then you monitor them from there?
Well, actually, I misspoke. If they haven't voted in two general elections, then they move into inactive status. If they don't vote in the next general election, then they come off. So that's why our vote totals go up and down. Because in 2024, we had 116,000+ registered voters, and now we're down to 113,000 registered voters. And that's because 3,000 came off. We don't hear from them. Plus, we're taking off daily those who have deceased. If we do get a court order from the courts for those who have been declared incompetent, they're coming off, as well as those who have committed a felony.
I got to tell you, I've been listening to you from the start of this conversation, and I'm saying this for the benefit of the fellow taxpayers in Martin County, but you're a very impressive group of people. You know what we need here.
Amen.
When I read or I see on the internet about what's going on in these other jurisdictions with their voter rolls and nobody cares and the apathy, this makes me really proud to say I live in a county
where my people
that I've elected and I've put into position are protecting my backside.
Absolutely.
And the people of Martin County need to know this because it's not going on everywhere in the state.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes. We're blessed.
So you need a big shout out. I want to thank you on behalf of the my family for what you do for those of us in Martin County, and just keep doing what you're doing, please.
Well, thank you so much for the call and for those kind and encouraging words.
You guys, everybody wants to throw rocks at you, but I'm not that guy.
Amen. You're a good brother.
I appreciate that.
Amen.
We need you. We need you. And more importantly, we need you to do your your constitutional duty.
And you know, we don't take that lightly. I don't take that lightly.
You are a constitutional officer.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. When I swear, when I'm sworn in, I'm swearing that I will follow the laws of the Constitution of the United States and of the state of Florida.
Amen.
And I don't take that lightly. So thank you.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you for calling, sir.
Appreciation on to your staff. They did a wonderful job.
Will
do.
Give
them a raise. Give them a raise.
Have a good day, sir.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that made you think. I
went, that guy was funny.
That's cool. We were thinking of someone. It's not, I know who it is, but I'm not going to mention his name. He's a good brother. He's on the air with us a lot during prayer and chair.
Amen.
I think I know who it is.
Yeah. And
I recognize his voice, too.
Well, on that, speaking of that, I went to seminary in Chicago, and I told my wife, when I die, I want you to bury me up there because I can still vote.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
He's kidding, audience.
I'm kidding.
Well,
Yeah, I sort of am. Yeah.
I did sort of am.
It's kind of a knock to the city where I was born.
Of course, that's where you were born. I didn't mean to cast aspersions.
No, that's okay.
But
there's a reason why I'm still, when I'm not there anymore.
When I was in seminary up there, there was a lot of stuff going around about voters' rolls containing people voting after they died.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I did notice a picture of Chicago of a mail truck in the cemetery delivering absentee ballots.
Well, you know, USPS, man, they're on the job. Anyway, back to what
we were going to Kiri. She was going to talk about some deadlines and whatnot.
Sure.
Is that right?
Yes, we have some important deadlines coming up, and we want to make sure our election vote, our voters in Martin County are ready for 2026. Mm-hmm. We always ask people, ask yourself these questions. Has your name changed? Has your address changed? Would you like to change your party, or do you need to update your signature? People often wonder, why are you asking, do I need to update my signature? If you vote by mail, that is how we verify who you are. Mm-hmm. We physically verify the signature of every vote by mail ballot we receive. That's why we're out at our nursing homes and assisted living facilities, because as you know, those individuals still have a right to vote, and they're passionate. They just can't get to the polling precinct.
Yeah.
So we're there updating their records. We come back for supervised voting.
Wow.
So the dates you need to know for 2026, and for you all here who have our booklet in front of us, and as Ms. David shared for you, it's on our website. On page 15, we have our 2026 notice of election with our key dates. July 20th, that's our first one. It's the last day a person can register to vote or change their political party. People have to understand the state of Florida is a closed primary state.
Right. There's another. Okay.
Is that a phone call,
Not
David?
Yet. We don't know if it's going to come in or not.
Okay.
In the state of Florida, we are a closed primary state. So for a primary election, which will be on August 18th, you're issued a ballot based on your political party affiliation.
Yes.
So that's why we want you to know our first key deadline, July 20th. If you're new to Florida or you just haven't registered before, that's your deadline to register to vote or make changes to your political party. Also, for those of you who like to vote by mail, voting by mail is very popular, especially our snowbirds. A lot of them aren't here for the primary elections. They're up north.
And there's a call.
Sorry, we're going to interrupt for a call.
Of course.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Pastor David, Ann, Ed, all the wonderful ladies.
Hi, Anne Marie.
The election office of Martin County. God bless you for having the frontline program.
Hmm.
I think America really needs to hear the warning of many of our forefathers. I'm from Massachusetts, New England, blood to the core, and I just think that the voting is the most urgent thing that the American people need to understand the importance of.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And I just praise God, you know, that we're still in a position of freedom.
Amen.
To be able to do this. And God bless you ladies for the integrity of what you're showing of that office. I have adult children that are, what's up the idea that I'm hopeful that my vote will mean something. And I just think the young generation has had so much robbed from them when they tried to change history, and how important it is for how we all participate, especially in the Constitution. And God bless you all. Love you all very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie. God bless you.
Yes.
Take care.
Thanks for the call.
Well, cool. Well, appreciate that.
Yes.
That was very nice.
What we were talking about, voting by mail. So voting by mail is very important, because a lot of people in primaries elect to choose that option because some of them aren't here for primaries or just for sheer convenience for them.
Yeah.
So just so you are aware, vote by mail ballots are mailed 40 days before an election. So it gives you time to research, go ahead and either mail it back in, or you can come to any of our early voting locations and deliver it in a secure ballot intake station. Some people prefer to bring it in person so they can get that I voted sticker that everyone proudly likes to wear around town, so people know that you participated in the process. And then August 18th, that is the primary election day. So if you're a person who prefers to vote in person, that's your day. But before that, we have early voting. We'll have 8 days of early voting, and we'll have 3 locations: the supervisor of elections office, the Hope Sound Library and the Elizabeth Lottie Library in Indiantown. So there are three locations. Mm-hmm. You can go to any early voting site, and that's the beauty of early voting. If you would choose to vote early, you can go to any early voting site. You'll see our wonderful election workers, like one we have in the studio today.
Barb Twig
is awesome. Barb Twig is an amazing election worker and an early voting clerk. So she's there to greet you with a smile when you come in to vote early. I don't know if you want to talk about voting, working as an election worker.
Come up to the table, Barb, and grab Carrie's mic. Sure.
How long have you been doing it, and then talk about it?
I think I've been doing it now two cycles. And
she never says no.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Well, listen, the fact that it's easy to be an election worker is because of Carrie's videos. Seriously, when I first got there, because I came from Texas and their voting system is a little bit different than here, and you were just thrown in and said, this is how you do it, but not in Martin County, because actually there was classes. So I was actually able to go in person and learn what the ballots look like and what all it takes to secure a voter. And that was the other thing too, is that like when I became then, a judge?
You're a clerk.
Clerk, yeah. When you're a clerk. See, in Texas you're a judge, right. But in here is a clerk.
Oh, got it.
So when I was a clerk, so therefore I wasn't nervous. I was nervous at first, but then I was like, but Carrie, I don't know how to set up the ballot taker. Yeah, the scanner. The scanner. And she's like, just look at the video. And I'm like, oh, that's right. So I have a whole video library now so that I can, you know, just go ahead and remind myself. But anyways, it's very easy to be a worker. And it's so much fun. And I love to be able to have everybody cast their vote. I don't care what party you are. You don't know what I am, and I don't know what you are.
Yeah.
I just want you there to vote.
Yes.
It is our duty as an American citizen to vote.
Yes.
And so we never turn anybody away.
Yeah.
And I did not know how to do provisional ballots until 2024. Uh-huh. And thank goodness Miss Vicki Davis was there, because I'm like, what do I do? And she goes, here's the envelope. And I'm going, okay. So I had a lot of those provisional ballots.
What is a provisional ballot? Can you tell her?
You tell the provisional ballot thing.
Sure. So the question was, what is a provisional ballot?
I know what it is, but for our audience,
but for those who want to know, a provisional ballot is usually given to someone who might not have identification when they show up to the polling precinct, because we ask for photos and signature identification, which is required by law.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Someone who may have registered after the deadline. That's why we talk about that deadline for the primary election, and there's also one for the general election. You must be registered to vote 29 days before an election. So say maybe you moved in the Florida the 30th day. You missed that deadline, but you showed up to the polling precinct to cast a vote. They would issue you a provisional ballot. So those are the main reasons a voter would be issued a provisional ballot. And once they vote a provisional ballot, they're given what is called a copy of their notice of rights, where they can call into the elections office and find out the status of that provisional ballot.
Because that goes in front of the canvassing board.
It goes before the canvassing board.
Because I've sat through that process.
You're right.
In St. Lucie County.
The process.
Yeah.
So they determine that vote to see the eligibility of that voter. So they have a copy of their notice of rights where they can call and find out the status of their ballot.
That's democracy in action.
Cool.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
And I also have one more thing to say, because this is how the devil works. He twists everything up, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So when people say, they're not giving me my right to vote, it's impossible for me to get an ID. That is not true.
No.
Mm-hmm. We have how many? 15 pieces of 12 pieces of identification
that you could
to
show.
Be able to show me your signature and your photo. So don't be... the people that say, oh, they're not giving anybody the right to vote, it's too hard to get the ID, that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring in a signature of a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring in a student ID with a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And that passes. And that passes. You
mm-hmm.
are allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I even learned this last election cycle that you can be homeless and use the Martin County election office address.
Wow, this
as
is
your
great.
Resident. Mm-hmm. So you see, the thing that about Martin County is that we want everybody to vote that wants to vote.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. nobody should be turned away.
Yes.
And I do believe that I had maybe one person that legally was not able to vote, but everybody else mm-hmm. out of that whole election day
yeah.
was allowed to vote. But it was a lot of fun. And another thing that's very cool about Martin County is that the day of election, I was so tired. I was like, I didn't even look who won our precinct, right? I was like,
you don't.
I get that.
I just want to turn in my things, go home and eat, you know? And so I did. I got home and I was like, well, I'll go ahead and turn on TV at like 9 or whatever. And Martin County had already, in fact, I think the whole state of Florida had already given. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The results.
And it was impressive. 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Yep. That is so fantastic.
Yeah.
So
this is coming from a person who has been working and knows
right.
the ins
yes.
and outs.
That's right. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You guys are impressive.
Well,
can you talk about the tabulation, Ms. Davis, about how you do that? And
sure. And two things to tag on to what Barb was saying. In the state of Florida, we have had an identification requirement since 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1996, I think it was, when the Motor Voter Act passed, then a photo was also required. Mm-hmm. So Floridians should definitely be used to having that ID requirement. And the other thing, it'll come back to me, but the tabulation part of the process, we are required by Florida law to have our early vote totals and our
Vote by mail.
Thank you, Kiri. Vote by mail totals to the Division of Elections 30 minutes after the polls close.
Wow.
And then every 45 minutes thereafter, precinct results have to be reported up. In Martin County, basically everything is reported prior to 8 o'clock, 8:30 at the latest.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, Florida statutes, that's why Florida is the model. We have become the gold standard. Actually, our state association president likes to say we are the platinum standard
for the United States
in the state of Florida.
We're blessed.
We've gone beyond gold.
We are so blessed.
Yeah. So,
I love the bumper sticker that says Make America Florida.
I haven't seen that one.
Amen to that. Amen.
But yes, our supervisor, 67, we meet twice a year, but it's We all work very hard to make sure that elections are safe and they're secure.
Amen.
And yet transparent.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say, being asked about breaks, we're not going to take a – I eliminated the second break because there's so much important stuff here. I don't want to cut into that. So.
I have a topic I'd like to address to either one of you.
Sure.
You mentioned in your soliloquy that you gave us nursing homes.
Yes.
We've got a lot of people that are listening right now that are probably retired, sitting at home listening to us, and they usually have older parents that are possibly in nursing homes. Mm-hmm. As a former hospice chaplain, one of the situations David and I probably both saw in the nursing homes mm-hmm. was the fact that the residents were so open to intimidation as far as the voting goes, and were assisted by people with questionable motives in filling out their voter registration. How do you deal with that? You said you do visit nursing homes. How do you educate the retirees that are there, residents?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Chaplain Ed, because we do go in, educate them, update their information, but we come back and offer the service of supervised voting, meaning any individual who is in a nursing home or an assisted living can have a member of our staff who are all sworn in, no volunteers. We come back and we bring the ballot to that individual. And our assistance is anything from reading the question to that individual to filling in the oval of their choice. And so instead of relying on someone who works in a facility who may be trying to sway an individual, we're there to give them exactly what it is they want, whatever their choice is. And if it's anything of reading that question to them or filling in that oval, then they review everything with us. They go ahead, place it in that envelope, seal it themselves. We put it in a secure ballot case that we seal.
Beautiful.
We have a chain of custody when we bring and return those ballots back that are voted. And they get their I voted sticker. And they know that they voted the way they wish to vote.
and there was no questions or anything. So they love that. Yeah.
I'm sure that awesome. Brings a lot of peace to the family.
It does.
That's
it
a great question.
It is.
Yeah.
So if the resident asks questions about candidates or anything about advice, you can't strictly talk about
Correct.
Any of that.
We cannot
You just read
do that.
The ballot, and then who would you like to vote for, and they tell you.
Correct.
Right. And this is in the open for everybody to see, or how is that, Carrie?
Well, it depends. Some of the facilities, they bring them to the activities room, and we put up a little voting booth, make it like a little precinct, and we have our little voting booth there for them.
Beautiful.
Or for those who can't come out, some people, because of mobility issues, we come
to
the
room.
But we have two people at all times from our team who are assisting those individuals.
So the accountability.
Wow. Accountability. So there's no question.
And that makes the
really
residents
cool.
feel a lot more included
of course.
In the process,
yes.
even though they now feel they're outside the society.
Right.
They're very happy to see Kiri and the
are.
Team come in.
Mm, yeah.
And we bring them lollipops that say vote, and that's another icing on the cake. Some
I never
like,
got
Can
one
I
of those.
We give it to our nursing home and assisted living residents, and they're so excited to get their sticker in addition to their vote lollipop. So they love that. It's great for us. We know that their voice was heard, and that's why we're here.
Exactly.
We're here to help everyone. And so we love being in those facilities.
The joy that you have for your jobs. It is not just a job. Mm-hmm. This is a ministry. The
and
reason why we
yes.
have this show is frontline ministry.
Yes.
In every area, entertainment, government, mm-hmm. media. We're media ministry.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Tell me why this is so important. Obviously, why has the Lord... You've been here for 20 years. Most people don't work at a job that long.
It's
and
true.
Then Miss Davis, you've been in office since 2000.
This one, 21 years.
Praise God. Years, why do you do this? What is it in you?
It's in me. I feel like I'm a servant.
Yeah.
And this is how God has called me
yeah.
for this time to serve. Mm-hmm. And I have a boss who is a Christian. It makes a difference.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
You know it's a person of integrity.
Yes.
And that makes a great difference because that's what we do. We want people to feel safe and secure and that we're doing this with integrity and we're here to serve and help you.
Mm.
So I honestly love every moment of it.
I could tell.
It's a joy. It's a true joy in a service.
And you're fulfilling your calling.
I am.
And then to hear your story, how you went from school board member, not even, this wasn't in your wheelhouse.
No.
It wasn't. On your, you know, your plan.
No,
Lord put it in front of you, Miss Davis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just dropped into my spirit. That
wow.
This would be the job that, you know, I would really, would fit well. We would fit together.
You could tell.
Yeah, I could tell.
Giftings. You're gifted. From God.
It's a calling.
It's a calling.
And like Kiri said, it's public service. We are, you know, serving those within our community. Yeah. And as Barb said, to make sure that every single voter has the opportunity to cast a vote.
Yes.
That's our goal.
Kiri shared with me that she graduated high school with one of your daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh.
That must feel like having your daughter right around side of you.
I say that often. Uh-huh. She's my other daughter.
Wow.
That is cool.
Yeah.
This, you know, I love what's being said today, especially you've been sharing from your heart, because when we think of government entities, there's a tremendous amount of sterility that goes with that thinking. And maybe we don't take advantage of the opportunity to get to know the people who are in those roles.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sometimes those opportunities aren't available to us.
True.
But for today, I think those who've been listening in, you've heard something. You've heard the hearts of people. You heard the family side of the supervisor of elections office. And I think that's rich.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wonderful. It's a great revelation. I would almost want to say, you know, we got to have more people who can share their heart, who are in government.
Amen.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
That the constituents don't hear it. I mean, sometimes we don't ask. Maybe that's our problem, you know, on that side. But I appreciate your sharing that.
Absolutely. One more thing. I know we're getting down to close
we have about
to time to
6 minutes, maybe, five
good.
And a half.
Okay, good. I do want to share with voters in Martin County that we are going to be up in with Barb, our poll workers here, that we are going to be upgrading our voting equipment. Our equipment is almost 20 years old.
Mm.
It was purchased in 2008. Florida had a bifurcated system. When I came into office, we had touchscreen equipment. Prior to that, we had the old lever machines, but because of the election of 2000, that equipment, the lever machines, the punch cards, they were all decertified. My predecessor went with touchscreen equipment. It had no paper trail. So in 2008, Governor Crist mandated that the entire state of Florida go paper. So some counties had the electronic touchscreen equipment. Some counties had the paper ballots. So we all have had paper ballots since 2008. So that's how old our equipment is. When I came into office, I asked our county administrator, county commissioners, if the money's left over in my equipment, in my account, my budget.
Operating budget.
Yes, operating budget, elections side, if it could go into a reserve account for the replacement of equipment.
Good idea.
It's a good idea.
So they approved that. You can see on page 10 that we have, at that point in time, $540,672 in equipment replacement funding. We now have about $600,000 in there. So it will completely cover the cost of replacing this equipment. We don't have to go back to the Board of County Commissioners because the money is there. It has purchased throughout the years other voting equipment, such as our EVIDS, which is the electronic voter identification system. Also, we do have an independent audit system, and it's purchased that equipment as well. So every ballot that's cast, it's counted twice because it's counted when the voter inserts their ballot into that tabulation equipment, or the vote-by-mails go through the high-speed tabulator. And then after the election, every single ballot goes through this independent audit system so that we can compare the numbers to make sure that voter's vote was cast the way that they wanted it to be cast.
I noticed looking at the graph the last several years, you have been very consistent in keeping the budget pretty steady.
Yes.
Compared to everything else in the country that's going sky high.
Yeah. You know? That's good.
That's good management.
Yes.
That's why we keep reelecting you.
There you go.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
When will this new equipment be in, and it will be in time for the next election?
Great question. It should be in after the first of the year, so it will be available for the August and November elections.
Good.
Yeah. Yep.
Time is almost out, and I want to ask you, because we do have, you know, the midterms are coming up, and in about a minute and 25 seconds, can you kind of give us an overview of how we can prep for that now?
Sure. If a voter wants to vote by mail, they can call the office, 772-288-5637, or go online, as Kiri said earlier, martinvotes.gov, and request a vote by mail ballot. We are encouraging voters, if you have updated your driver's license, you have received a new number. We need that number in our system. Please call us so that we can walk you through how to get that new number in our system. And it doesn't affect you when you go to vote, just if you're requesting a ballot. So voters can go ahead and request those vote-by-mail ballots, and just visit our website. I mean, there's a wealth of information at martinvotes.gov.
There's a ton.
Yes.
And especially, I would encourage you to go on the website and download this copy of The 100 Years of Democracy in Action in Martin County. It's full of great information. It's a well-done, by the way. I'm a graphic artist in my early days, so I'm looking at this and saying,
pleasing.
Visually
too.
Very pleasing.
And easy to understand.
Yeah, that's right. And so
an outstanding example of transparency.
Absolutely.
I just want to thank God for these two, because the Lord has placed them, and we're blessed to be in Martin County.
Amen. We truly
where
are.
We could trust our constitutional officer.
And I'm so grateful that you were here. We're going to have you back.
Yes.
As we get into 2026 and we approach the midterms, you're going to have some wisdom for us. But now, sadly, I have to say goodbye. Thank you all for listening. Tune in next week, same time, obviously the same station. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.